So, all right, well, let's go to prayer once again here for our message time. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for being able to come together and worship here. And we want your name, God, to be glorified as we are singing. We want your glory. We know seeking your glory is the best thing. And wanting your will to be done in our lives is the best thing that we could want. And so, Lord, we find our satisfaction in you and having relationship with you, God, through Jesus Christ, your Son. And so, Lord, this morning we pray for church members and family members and friends who are struggling right now, maybe suffering physically. And we pray, Lord, for your comfort. We pray, Lord, that you would be their very present help in trouble, as your scripture says. And we also just pray that if there's something you want us to do for them in being the hands and feet of Jesus at this moment, Lord, we pray for your prompting and your direction there. And Lord, I also just pray, Lord, we do want to pray in advance for this harvest party. We pray that not only would the kids enjoy it, but they would bring friends and invite friends who could come and see the love that your people have for one another. And we know that that in and of itself is evangelistic and reaches people because they'll wonder what that love is all about. And so, Lord, I pray now that you'd fill me with your Spirit. You would help me, Lord, to be faithful and true to your word. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we have been going through the book of 1 Timothy, and I know you've had a couple weeks break from that, and now we're coming upon a section here where we've been talking about church leadership, right? Last time we talked about elders and the qualifications for elders and so on, and now we're going to be talking about God's design for deacons, and so that's in verses 8 to 13. But the thing I think about this is, you know, when you come upon passages like this, it should give us good comfort and great comfort that God has some things the way he wants them to be done. He has an organization, a leadership in the church, and he has a desire and a will for us on how that is played out. It's not just we can just kind of pick and choose how we want to lead the church or who gets to lead the church or whatever, and kind of anything goes. He does have some guardrails on things. And yes, there's a lot of freedom in how worship gets expressed in individual churches and all of that. But we do have some specifics, and we do see a number of those here in 1 Timothy in this book. So we find ourselves here talking about God's design for deacons. And so if you're able to, would you please stand for the reading of God's word, which is our habit here. And I'll read the passage here. So this is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 to 13. It says, "Deacons, likewise, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Women likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." This is God's word. Please have a seat. So this morning, I'm basically going to, as we go through the passage, I'm going to look to answer three questions. One is, what is a deacon? And then, in what way or ways do they serve the church? And then, thirdly, who can serve as a deacon? I'm going to try to cover those three as we go through this and other passages that relate to it. All right, so first of all, what is a deacon? Well, If you look through the New Testament, you will see this word, Greek word, that's used for deacon, used in a couple different ways. Sometimes it's used as a general word for a servant or a minister, someone who's ministering or serving someone, okay? And so I want to take a look at some passages where we see that. These are not an exhaustive list, but this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 says, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant. And that word servant there is the same Greek word that we have in 1 Timothy 3 for deacon. Good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. So that's one example of this general use of the word. And then we've got 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, where he says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you have believed, as the Lord assigned to each. And there you go, the word servants, again, is that same word that's used for deacon in 1 Timothy 3. And then lastly, another example here of this general use of the word is Colossians 1:23, which says, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. And that word minister there is that same word for deacon in 1 Timothy 3. So I just want you to see that same word is used in a general sense, but then we also pick up the fact that this word deacon is sometimes used to refer to the office of deacon, which is where we find ourselves today in 1 Timothy 3. One other place that I think makes it pretty clear that there is the office of deacon is when you go to Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This introduction here, it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. Well, we know that word overseer, right, is referring to the elders, as we learned early in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And then he says, and the deacons. So it stands to speak, he's saying this introduction to the elders and to the deacons, the leaders of the church, if you will, okay? And so here it's not just a general word. He's referring to the office of deacon here. Of course, then he goes on to say, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ with his greeting. And so we have the same word having a general use for just a servant or a minister. And then in some instances, it's used for this office in the church. And so how do you know which one it should be? Well, the context of the verse, like what's surrounding it, is going to help you determine whether it's going to be referring to the office or whether it's something general, right? And so right before our passage in 1 Timothy 3, he was talking about the office of elder and the qualifications for that. And then he goes on to say, likewise, deacons, right? And so it stands to reason he's talking about another office because he's going to give other qualifications. So it just makes sense that within the context of 1 Timothy 3, that this is the office, okay? So, and make no mistake, a deacon is a servant, okay? They're a servant, and we'll get into that here in a minute. But you just should know that same word, exact word, is used in multiple instances, sometimes generally, sometimes the office, and the context really does determine that. And that happens with a number of words in our Bible, right? The translators have the same word in multiple different places, and in some places they figured out it means this, in other places it's translated something else. Okay? Now, so in what way or ways do? I told you I wasn't up for this today. I still got it? Okay, all right. Well, good thing God has it. All right, do. Sorry about that. Must have saw a deer this morning. All right. So, in what way or ways do they serve the church? Okay. Now, by the way, this is We're going to go to Acts chapter 6 here in a minute. A lot of people think that is possibly the place where the first deacons were appointed. But, you know, there's a lot of latitude here on what deacons do because we don't have a lot of specificity on their function. And I think that's probably why you see in different churches deacons do different things, okay? Because when you don't have a lot of specificity, then you tend to have a lot of latitude, right? Just for your information there. So let's take a look, though, in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. I'll read that for you. So it says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution." So some people were, needs were not being met. They were being left out, right? And, I mean, there's a lot more we could say on this, but just get the gist of that. And then verse 2, "And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables.'" And by the way, you should not read into this. It's not saying, well, we don't want to deal with this piddly stuff of helping the widows. No, that's not their attitude. Their attitude, though, is just saying, you know, we have to keep advancing the gospel, so we have to find a way to do both, to keep advancing the gospel and preaching the good news and make sure that we're doing our good job as shepherds of the flock of God, but we also have to address this need, right? So then it says in verse 3, "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And that's what they're wanting to be doing, and so that they wouldn't be distracted from that. And so verse 5, "And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch." So these are the people who were chosen that met those qualifications they were looking for. And then it says in verse 6, "These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." Now, isn't it interesting that you're saying, hey, there was a problem, right, that could have precluded and distracted the gospel from going out, or at least like slowed it down. But what was happening is once they addressed the problem, then this last verse says, "And the word of God continued to increase." So I think, you know, they met the needs, but they also were able to keep the mission at the forefront and to do both, right? So here you have something that happened to the church. A need was brought about. And it wasn't that something that, you know, was just a small thing. It was something that was going to take organization, something that was going to be potentially ongoing. And so they chose men that met these qualifications and appointed them as deacons to take care of this. And so I think one of the things we can see here is that deacons assist the elders by serving the church to meet a specific need, right? That's why I think that in our church, we have 2 deacons, right? We have Darlene Honigford, and she helps with the CARES ministry and making sure that if there's someone who has a critical need in some way, that, you know, if their small group can't help do that, then she steps in to help organize and try to meet the need and helps coordinate the body to do that. And that is something we really appreciate and is definitely needed, and no matter what the size of the church is. And then Jamie Dick, he was appointed as a deacon to basically help coordinate the care, if you will, of the grounds and of this facility, and help us with plans to whenever we want to are feeling like we need to build something or do something to fix something. Jamie was appointed to do that, and he has served us well and continues to do so. And so those are our 2 deacons. And, you know, if something else comes around, I think that our elders feel like, hey, we're kind of getting pulled away. This is an important thing that needs to be addressed, but we're spending a lot of time And it's not, it's pulling us away from the ministry of the word and shepherding the flock. And that would be something that we would say, well, we might need a deacon for this, right? So that's all that to say is that, you know, I think, again, I'm not going to be dogmatic and say this is the only reason to appoint deacons, because we have one instance of an example in the book of Acts, right, in the history of the church where this is what they did, right? But I think we have it as an example to us, and I think it does show a need, specific need was there. They are serving the elders and obviously the church by helping meet the need while the elders could stay focused on what they are charged to do. Okay? So we talked a little bit about what the word deacon is, right? What a deacon is, servant, right? This is an official office. And then we've talked about in what way they may serve the church just based on an example passage. Now, who could serve as a deacon? The first thing on the list I have to tackle here is our church believes a deacon could be a man or a woman. Okay, you're going to find different churches vary on this. Okay, but I'm just going to explain our position on it and how we came to it. Okay, so and just to remind you here, and you may have noticed when I read the passage, I said women, not their wives. Let me get back to that verse again, 1 Timothy 3:4. English Standard Version goes with their wives likewise must be dignified, but then there's a note that says an alternate translation is women, right? So it's either women or their wives, and that's because that word is used for both. Okay, so I did a search in my New Testament to find out how that word was used in the Greek, just in the New Testament. There were 11 instances of that morphology, of just that, you know, that being a noun and so on. And I found 11. I found 11 of them. Five of them were translated wives. Six of them, women. How do you know which to use? What do you think? Either one, but the context would help us, right? Either one, but the context would help us. And so I'm going to make my case for women deacons here, and this is where our elders are on this. So let me give you some reasons to think verse 11 should be translated women and not wives. Again, this is an opinion. There are many godly people that I respect that go with their wives, and that's fine. But you know, a church has to decide where they're going to land on this. You know, functionally, it wouldn't work for us to say it could be both. It could be their wives and it could be women, right? Within the same local body. So you have to make a decision. Okay, so reason number one, I think, is that the word "there," you know, because the ESV says their wives, the word "there" is not there. T-H-E-I-R is not there. T-H-E-R-E. Okay, it's not in the Greek. And so the translators, it doesn't mean that they did something wrong, because this often happens, like you have to make a decision. So if they thought it was wives, then they're going to just kind of say, well, to make it flow, we're going to say their wives. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say there. And so you would think if Paul wanted to refer to the male deacons' wives, he would use their. Okay? So that's the first reason. Second reason, I think that this is talking about women deacons here in verse 11 is kind of what I mentioned there to you before. It has to do with sometimes that word is translated wives, sometimes it's women, so it could go either way, right? And so we're leaning towards women based on the context of what's going on, what's the flow, and which kind of leads into my next reason. If Paul meant wives here, don't you think he would have said something related to the role of being a wife? Like in that qualification, like there would be something there, if there was something about a qualification that deacon's wife has to meet certain qualifications, then you think there would be something in the qualification for her that would have to do with her role as a wife. And there's nothing there, okay? Now, also, there's there's no qualifications for an elder's wife. There's nothing, if you back up in the passage, there's nothing that says, okay, elder's wives likewise should be less. Now, you would think the elder's wives, given their position, ought to have some qualifications if deacon's wives are going to have qualifications, right? So again, you're just kind of stacking up these reasons why we're leaning towards women deacons here, okay? And then the last thing I would just say is when you go to, we have an example of a woman deacon, I believe, here in Romans chapter 16, verse 1. It says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant, or again, if you look in the ESV, there's a footnote that says, or deaconess, okay? A servant or deaconess of the church at that location, okay? So, again, I know it's a one-off example, but again, kind of like when you stack it all up, I think that there's a good case for having men and women deacons, okay? All right, so, and I know there's arguments the other way, but you just kind of have to decide where you're at as a church. Again, like I said, functionally, because this is a functional thing. Let me just mention this. Like when you go through the qualifications, like in verse 11 there for the women deacons, there's parallels to the requirements for the men. There are some parallels when we get there, you'll see, okay? They're not all one-to-one correspondence, but there's definitely some overlap there, okay? All right, so there you have. So we think that men and women can serve as deacons. And so let's talk a little bit about the qualifications that must be met by someone that would serve in this way. Now, you will notice, like when you start looking across, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and then Titus chapter 1, where qualifications for elders are also given, right? You'll see there is some overlap between character qualifications for elders and deacons. For example, you'll see in there that they must not be an addict, somebody that's addicted to much wine. They should not be greedy or have dishonest gain, right? For dishonest gain. They should be blameless. For the men, husband of one wife, able to manage the children and household. Those are common requirements for deacons and elders, okay? There's definitely a glaring two things that are not listed for deacons that are a primary responsibility for elders, and that is teaching, right? Authoritative teaching in the church and ruling the church, right? So, and we talked about those two words and how they were the key responsibilities for the elders. Those are not listed anywhere for the deacons, okay? It is purely a servant role, not a teaching role, not a ruling role. Okay? And so even when you take into account for that, you can say, well, that doesn't, like, you can see where allowing for men and women deacons doesn't violate that, right? So I just wanted to mention that there's some overlap there with some of the qualifications for elders. Now, let's talk about some of the qualifications that are listed there in 1 Timothy 3. Dignified, right, which just means honorable, respectable, somebody who's highly esteemed, right? And then not double-tongued. Those who are double-tongued say one thing to one group of people and then say something else completely different to another group of people. That's double-tongued, right? Not addicted to much wine, right? So this has to do with self-control. You don't want somebody that's lacking self-control in this position or undisciplined. And then the need, not greedy for dishonest gain. So if a person's a lover of money, they would not be qualified to serve as a deacon, especially if, you know, it's going to be somebody that's going to maybe disbursing funds and helping meet needs financially through the church, that kind of thing. And then sound in faith and life. There it says in verse 9, hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Oftentimes, Paul uses the mystery of the faith or the mystery. It refers to the gospel message, right? And so when he says, hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, I think he's talking about just that They're solid with the true gospel. They're unwavering on the gospel message. So you want someone who... So this is not just somebody who's able to do things. They're spiritually also very sound in their own life, right, in terms of the gospel message and so on. So now, you also see this word blameless in verse 10. It's a general term that refers to just a person's overall character, right? Overall character. And, you know, so the congregation basically and the elders need to select someone who is generally of good character, well-respected, a mature Christian, right? And then, you know, we mentioned that verse 11, we're taking that to be some specifics for women deacons, right? Dignified, not slanders. That's where I say, I think there's some parallels with what came in the verses before this, like when you think about dignified, right, and so on, and also just the not slanders relates to speech, right? That's also mentioned earlier. So I mean, and there's not, again, not a one-to-one correspondence, but there is some overlap with those things. Now, the husband of one wife obviously is going back to, I would take it as they're going back to talking about the men deacons, right? One man, woman. It's kind of like what we talked about with the elders qualification, right? Manage, and again, speaking to the men, manage children in the household well. Is he a good spiritual leader in the home, right? Male deacons would need to be that. So again, I kind of went over this quickly because some of those we hit on when we talked about elders. And so just to kind of recap here this point, who can be a deacon? A deacon can be a man or a woman. A deacon must meet the qualifications, right? They must meet the qualifications that are listed there. In fact, did you catch the verse there that says, in verse 10, it says, and let them be tested first. Let them be tested first. And I think that, you know, you want somebody who's been faithful in their task in serving in the church already. Just they're a faithful servant, you know. And so as elders, and this kind of gets to my final point here, is just that at Darby Creek Church, a deacon is selected by the elders and affirmed by the congregation. And so very similar to what we do with elders, right? If we've been praying about a particular need that needs to be met, that as elders doesn't fall under our responsibility, or we think it's going to be an ongoing thing of significant task, then we'll be start praying about over our. I mean, we pray over our phone list. You know, we cycle through our phone list at our elder meeting all the time. We always pick a chunk of names and we pray over that list every time. And so we're praying over people's lives. We're praying over families, and so. We start praying about, you know, would you feel like there's someone who's suited for this task that would meet the qualifications? And then we would approach that person, ask them to pray about it. And if they're inclined to say yes to that, then basically what we do is we actually have a written character qualifications test, if you will, or assessment, probably a better word. And then we have them do it. We have their spouse do it if they're married. We have a couple people that they know are close to them that have seen them in action in ministry before. And so then we try to get, then by doing that, we kind of get a wider view of how people see them in terms of meeting these qualifications. And then if everything looks good, then we bring it to the church publicly for the first time and say, hey, the elders see this need. It needs to be met. We've gone through this process. We'd like to put before you this person as a potential candidate for deacon for this purpose. Would you please pray about it for the next 2 weeks? Here's the qualifications. Pray over it. Give us your feedback. And if everything goes as, you know, is positive and so on, then we lay hands on them and we pray for them and we commission them to carry out their service. Okay? So that's a very, like, fire hose. This is how it happens at Darby Creek. And that, you know, I'm not saying that's the only way to do that, but that's kind of fits in with our form of church government. And so, So why should you care? Well, you should care that your church cares about what the Word of God says, right? First of all, that should matter for you more than anything else, right? If we want to try to do it the way God says to do it, right? And again, I know these are kind of guardrails. There's some latitude within that, but we need to stay within the guardrail of Scripture. And so we see the need for deacons. We've demonstrated that, and we very well may need some in the future, and so on. So you just need to see that your shepherds of the flock are trying to be faithful to the Word of God, and that God has put these offices in place to help minister to the body, right? And the deacons have a vital function in the church. And that's not to say that everybody else that serves, ministry leaders and small group leaders, is any less important, right? It's just, it's kind of like, you know, does it really matter if you have a title? I think that's, you know, you're, you just do the work of God, do your part of the wall that he's got you working on, right? And that's what we all need to do, is just be faithful in that task. And if we're recognized for some particular office, hey, great. If not, great. No, it shouldn't be an issue, right? If our heart's in the right place. And so, So we come upon Scripture here, and it tells us that our church is to be organized in a certain way, and so we want to be faithful to it. And so, as we close in prayer this morning, I'm just going to pray for our deacons that we have now, and also just pray, maybe you could pray with me, that, you know, if there's a need that is not getting met, that our elders would be aware of it, and if it's something that we need a deacon for, we would, you know, take action on that. Or if it's something that we can just do as a one-off thing, then our elders can handle that. So I guess just pray that we faithfully, our elders faithfully, you know, continue to lead in this area of deacons. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you have these offices of elder and deacon for reasons in the church. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd, I want to pray for Darlene and for Jamie, our two deacons, and we just pray, Lord, for protection over their lives, knowing that in the role that they're playing, that they may be a target for the evil one. So we just pray for protection over them and their families, members, and pray, Lord, that you would lead and guide them in their areas of service, Lord, and continue to help them to do as they are, just excellently and with integrity and giving you the glory along the way. So we are so blessed to have them in our church family. And again, we just pray that you continue to use them for your glory and for our good too. So we pray, Lord, for that. We also just pray for our elder team. Lord, help us to be sensitive to the needs of the church. Help us to be sensitive when there is a need for more deacons. And help us to be faithful in appointing others as needed. So, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for giving us clarity here this morning on certain things. And, Lord, we just pray that, again, we want you to be glorified through how we conduct the church, Lord. And we want you to be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.